Volume 2,
Number 173, The Sermon of the Mount, the Beatitudes, Part 4. The crowd is growing larger and larger as the days go by. There are men, women, old people, children, rich and poor alike. The couple, Stephen and Hermas, is always present, although not yet associated with the old disciples led by Isaac. And there is also the new couple formed yesterday, the old man and the woman. They are in the very front, near their comforter, and they look much more cheerful than yesterday. The old man, to make up for the many months or years during which he was neglected by his daughter, has laid his wrinkled hand on the knees of the woman, and she is caressing it out of the inborn instinct of a morally sound woman to be maternal. Jesus passes near them to climb up to his rustic pulpit, and while passing, he caresses the head of the old man, who looks at him as if he already saw him as God. Peter says something to Jesus, who makes a gesture as if he wanted to say, "It doesn't matter." But I do not understand what the apostle says. Peter remains near Jesus, and Judas, Thaddeus, and Matthew join him. The other apostles are scattered among the crowd.
Peace be with you all.
Yesterday, I spoke of prayer, of swearing, of fasting. Today I want to instruct you in other perfections. They are also prayer, trust, sincerity, love, religion. The first thing I will speak to you of is the right use of riches, changed into as many treasures in heaven by the goodwill of the faithful servant. The treasures of the earth do not last, but the treasures of heaven are eternal. Are you fond of what is yours? Are you sorry to die because you will no longer be able to look after your property and you will have to leave it? In that case, transfer them to heaven. You may say, "What is of the earth will not enter heaven, and you have taught us that money is the filthiest thing on earth. How can we transpose them to heaven?" No, you cannot take money, material as it is, into the kingdom where everything is spiritual. But you can take the fruit of money. When you give a banker your money, why do you do it? That he may make it bear interest. You do not deprive yourselves of it, not even temporarily, that he may give you back the same amount. But out of 10 talents, you want him to give you back 10 plus 1 or even more. Then you are happy and you praise the banker. Otherwise, you say, "He is honest, but he is a fool." And if instead of 10 plus 1, he should give you 9, saying, "I lost the rest," you would denounce him and send him to prison. What is the fruit of money? Does the banker sow your money and water it to make it grow? No. The fruit is given by a skillful handling of business, so that by means of mortgage deeds and loans at interest, the money is increased by the premium rightly requested for the loan of the gold. Is it not so? Now listen. God gives you earthly riches. To some people he grants a great deal. To some, only as much as they need to live. And he says to you, "Now it is up to you. I've given them to you. Gain by these means an end as my love wishes for your own good. I have entrusted you with them, but not that you may turn them into evil. Make your wealth bear interest, for this real fatherland, both because of the reputation I hold you in, and out of gratitude for my gifts." And here is the method to gain this end. Do not accumulate your treasures on the earth, living for them, being cruel for them, cursed by your neighbor and by God on account of them. It is not worth it. They are never safe in this world, Thieves can always rob you. Fire can always destroy your houses. Diseases of plants and animals can exterminate herds and orchards. How many things undermine your property? Whether it is real estate and unassailable, such as houses and gold, whether its nature is liable to be damaged, such as all living things, vegetables and animals or precious cloths, they can be ruined. Thunderbolts, fire and floods can destroy houses. Thieves, blight, dry weather, rodents, and insects can damage fields. Catching diseases, fever, crippling, murrain can destroy cattle. Moths and mice can ruin valuable pieces of cloth and precious pieces of furniture. Oxidization can corrode vases, chandeliers, and artistic gates. Everything is subject to destruction. But if you turn earthly welfare into supernatural good, then it becomes free from all damage by time, men, and calamities. Store up your treasure in heaven, where thieves cannot break in and where no calamities occur. Work with merciful love for all the miseries of the earth. You may caress your money and kiss it if you wish so. You may rejoice at the plentiful crops, at the vineyards laden with grapes, at the countless number of olives which bend the branches of the olive trees, and at your prolific sheep with turgid udders. You may rejoice at all that, but not in the sterile or human way. Rejoice with love and admiration, with supernatural delight and foresight. Thank you, my God, for this money, for these crops, plants, sheep, and for this business. Thank you, sheep, plants, meadows, business, which serve me so well. May you all be blessed, because through your goodness, O Eternal Father, and through yours, O things of mine, I can do so much good to those who are hungry, or are naked, homeless, sick, alone. Last year I did it for 10. This year, as I have more money, although I gave away much as alms, and the crops are more plentiful and the flocks larger, I will give twice, 3 times as much as last year, so that everybody, also those who have no wealth of their own, may partake of my joy and bless with me the eternal Lord. That is the prayer of a just man, a prayer which, joined to your deeds, transfers your wealth to heaven, and not only keeps it eternally for you, but you will find it increased by the holy fruit of love. Store your treasure in heaven, so that your heart may also be there, above and beyond the risk that not only your gold, your houses, fields, and herds may suffer damage, but that your very heart may be attacked and robbed, corroded, burnt and killed by the spirit of the world. If you do that, you will have your treasure in your heart, because you will have God within you until the blessed day when you will be in Him. But in order not to diminish the fruit of charity, take care to be charitable in a supernatural spirit. What I said in regard to prayer and to fasting applies also to charity and to any other good action you may do. Keep the good you may do free from the violating sensation of the world. Keep it immune from human praise. Do not profane the scented rose of your charity and of your good deeds, as it is a true censer of perfumes agreeable to the Lord. Good is profaned by a proud spirit, by the desire to be noted when doing good, and by the quest for praise. The rose of charity is then dribbled and eaten away by the big, slimy snails of satisfied pride, and the censer is filled with the fetid straw of litter on which the proud man basks like a well-fed animal. Oh, those deeds of charity accomplished to be pointed out by people. It would be better, much better, if they had not been performed at all. Who does not do them commits a sin of harshness. Who does them, letting people know both the amount given and the name of the person to whom it was given, and begging for praise, commits a sin of pride by making the offer known, as he says, "See how much I can afford?" Sins against charity because he humbles the beneficiary by making his name known, and commits a sin of spiritual avarice as he wants to store up human praises. It is straw, nothing but straw. Let God and his angels praise you. When you give alms, do not have it trumpeted before you to draw the attention of passers-by and win their praise, as the hypocrites do, who want to be praised by men and thus give alms only where they can be seen by many people. They too have received their reward and will not have another one from God. Do not commit the same sin and do not be so presumptuous. But when you give alms, your left hand must not know what your right is doing, so secret and modest is your almsgiving, and then forget about it. Do not linger admiring your deed, swelling with it like the toad that contemplates itself with its veiled eyes in the pond, and sees also the clouds, trees, and a chart near the bank reflected in the still water, and when it sees that it is so small as compared to them which are so large, it swells up with air until it bursts. Also, your charity is nothing as compared to the infinite, which is the charity of God. And if you wanted to become like him and make your small charity so big as to be equal to his, you would fill yourselves with the wind of pride and would end up by perishing. Forget about it. Forget about the action itself. A light, a sweet voice will always be present with you, and will make your day bright, sweet, and happy. Because that light will be the smile of God. The honey will be the spiritual peace which still comes from God. And the voice will be the voice of God, the Father, who will say to you, "Thank you." He sees the hidden evil and the concealed good, and will give you reward for them. Master, you give the lie to your own words. The sudden resentful remark comes from the center of the crowd. They all turn around in the direction of the voice. There is some confusion. Peter says, "I told you, eh? When there is one of those over there, everything goes wrong." Many people in the crowd hiss and grumble against the reviler. Jesus is the only one who remains calm. He has folded his arms and is standing, as tall as he is on his rock, with a sun in front of him in his dark blue tunic. The reviler, heedless of the reaction of the crowd, goes on. "You are a bad master because you teach what you do not do, and..." "Be quiet, go away, shame," shout the crowd, and again, "Go back to your scribes, the master is quite enough for us. Let the hypocrites go with the hypocrites. You false masters, usurers," and they continue, but Jesus thunders out, "Silence! Let him speak." And the crowds no longer shout, but they whisper their insults, glaring at him at the same time. "Yes, you teach what you do not do. You told us that we should give alms without being seen. And yesterday, in the presence of a whole crowd, you said to two poor people, 'Stay, and I will appease your hunger.'" "I said, 'Let the two poor people stay here. They will be the blessed guests who will give flavor to our bread. Nothing else.' I did not say I wanted to satisfy their hunger. Which poor man has not at least some bread? It was my joy to extend to them our good friendship." "Of course, you are cunning, and you can play the lamb." The old man stands up, turns round, and raising his walking stick, he shouts, "Infernal tongue, who are accusing the Holy One, do you think that you know everything and that you can accuse him of what you know? As you do not know who God is and who he is whom you are insulting, so you do not know his deeds. Only the angels and my overjoyed heart, no. Listen, men,
Listen, everybody, and see whether Jesus is the liar and the proud man that this traitor to the temple is saying. Be quiet, Ishmael. Be quiet for my sake. If I made you happy, please make me happy by being silent. Jesus begs him. I obey you, Holy Son, but let me say only this. The blessing of an old faithful Israelite is on him who assisted me in the name of God, and God put that blessing on my lips for me and for Sarah, my new daughter. But there will be no blessing on your head. I will not curse you. I will not foul with a curse my mouth, which must say to God, receive me. I did not do it to her who disowned me, and I have already received a divine reward for it. But there is one who will take the place of the innocent you are accusing and of Ishmael, the friend of God who assists him. A chorus of shouts closes the speech of the old man who sits down again, while a man sneaks away, followed by insults. The crowds then shout to Jesus, go on, Holy Master. We will listen only to you. Listen to us, not to those cursed birds of evil omen. They are jealous because we love you more than we love them. But you are holy. They are wicked. Go on, speak to us. You can see that we have no other wish but to hear you. Our homes, our business, they're nothing. We left them to hear you. Yes, I will speak to you. But do not be upset by what happened. Pray for those poor people. Forgive them as I do. Because if you forgive men their faults, also your Father who is in heaven will forgive you your sins. But if you bear men a grudge and do not forgive them, neither will your Father forgive you your shortcomings, and everybody needs to be forgiven. I was saying to you that God will give you a reward, even if you do not ask to be rewarded for the good you have done. But do not do good to be rewarded, to have a security for tomorrow. Do not do good restricted within narrow limits by fear. And after, will I have enough for myself? And should I have nothing, who will help me? Will I find anyone who will do what I did? And when I will no longer be able to give, will I still be loved? Look, I have mighty friends among rich people, and I have friends among the poor people of the earth. And I solemnly tell you that the mighty ones are not the most loved. I go to them not for my own sake or profit, but because they can give me much for those who have nothing. I am poor. I have nothing. I would like to have all the treasures in the world and change them into bread for those who are hungry, into homes for the homeless, into clothes for the naked, and into medicines for the sick. You may say, you can cure people. Yes, I can do that and other things. But I do not always find faith in men, and I cannot do what I would do and would like to do if the hearts of men had faith in me. I would like to help also those who have no faith. And as they do not ask the Son of Man for miracles, I would like, as a man to man, to help them. But I have nothing. That is why I stretch out my hand to those who are rich, and I ask them, give me some alms in the name of God. That is why I have high-placed friendships. Tomorrow, when I am no longer on the earth, there will still be poor people. But I shall not be there to work miracles for those who have faith, nor to give alms to lead to faith. But then my rich friends who are in touch with me will have learned how to help. And my apostles, after their experience with me, will have learned how to give alms out of love for their brothers. And the poor will always receive assistance. Yesterday, I received from one who has nothing more than all those who are rich have given me. He is a friend and as poor as I am, but he gave me something which no money can buy. and which made me happy, bringing back to me so many serene hours of my childhood and youth, when every evening the hands of a just one were laid on my head, and I went to rest with his blessing as the guardian of my sleep. Yesterday, this poor friend of mine made me king with his blessing. You thus see that none of my rich friends has given me what he gave me. Therefore, be not afraid. Even if you no longer have the power of money, providing you have love and holiness, you can still assist who is poor, tired, and distressed. And I therefore say to you, do not worry too much because you are afraid of having too little. You will always have what is necessary. Do not worry too much about your future. Nobody knows how much future there is ahead of him. Do not worry about what you will eat to support yourselves in life, or what clothes you will put on to keep your bodies warm. The life of your souls is by far more precious than your stomachs and your limbs. It is much more valuable than your food and your clothes. Exactly as material life is more valuable than food and the body more precious than its clothes. And your father knows. You ought to know too. Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet they do not starve to death because the Heavenly Father feeds them. And you men, the favorite creatures of the Father, are worth much more than they are. Which of you, with all his talent, can add one single cubit to his height? If you cannot raise your height even by a span, how can you possibly change your future conditions, increasing your wealth to ensure that you will live to a long and happy old age? Can you say to death, you shall come for me when I want? You cannot. Why then worry about your future? And why go to so much trouble lest you should be left without clothes? Think of the lilies growing in the fields. They do not work or spin. They do not buy any cloth from vendors. Yet I assure you that not even Solomon in all his regalia was robed like one of them. Now, if that is how God clothes the grass in the field, which is there today and will be thrown into the furnace tomorrow, or used to feed the cattle and will thus end up in ash or dung, how much more he will see to you, his children. Do not be of little faith. Do not worry about an uncertain future, saying, what shall I eat when I'm old? What shall I drink? How will I clothe myself? Leave such worries to the Gentiles, who do not have the lofty certainty of the divine paternity. You have it, and you know that the Father is aware of your needs and loves you. Therefore, trust him. Seek first what is really necessary: faith, goodness, charity, humility, mercy, purity, justice, meekness, the three and four main virtues, and all the others as well, in order to be the friends of God and have a right to his kingdom. And I can assure you that all the rest will be given to you as well, without having to ask for it. There is no rich man richer than a saint, or any man safer than he is. God is with the saint, and the saint is with God. He does not ask anything for his body, and God supplies what is necessary. But he works for his soul, and God gives himself to him in this world, and paradise in the next one. So do not go to any trouble for what is not worth your trouble. Let your imperfections grieve you, not your scanty earthly means. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself, and you will take care of it when you live it. Why worry today? Is life not already quite full of yesterday's sad memories and of today's troubles, that we should feel the need to add the nightmares of tomorrow's uncertainties? Leave to each day its own trouble. There will always be in life more pains than we would wish, without adding the present pains to future ones. always say the great word of God, today. You are his children, created to his likeness. So say with him, today. And today I give you my blessing. May it accompany you until the beginning of a new today, of tomorrow. That is when I will give you once again my peace in the name of God.